Today, as we celebrate this great feast of our guardian angels, we have to recognize just how grateful we have to be for this beautiful gift. We hear about the angel that was leading the people of Israel across the desert. We have to remember that each country has its own angel, each state in our union, and each city has its own angel. But each and every person has his or her own angel. You have to remember also, when you think about just how grateful we need to be, each angel is only a guardian angel once. They don't get recycled. Your guardian angel wasn't somebody else's guardian angel 1,000 years ago somewhere. Your guardian angel chose you. That's even more astounding. And remember, when an angel makes a decision, he makes it with full knowledge. So your angel had a pretty good idea who he was getting and chose you anyway. It's not that they were lined up and your angel's going, oh no, of all the people, look who you just stuck me with. No, your angel picked you. Your angel chose you. That is nothing short of astounding. Talk about charity on the part of the angels. That's what we need to think about. Now, we hear about the angels of the little ones who are beholding God face to face. And consequently, a lot of people think of angels as something that is just there for little children. That is not the case. Your angel has been with you since the moment of your conception. Your angel has never left you for one split second in your entire lifetime and never will. Your angel, if you wind up in purgatory, will stay with you in purgatory. Rejoice abundantly when you finally get to heaven. If you go to hell, he'll drop you off at the door, but otherwise, he's with you always. He's there to protect you, he's there to guard you, he's there to guide you. But God gave you a free will. He's not going to force you to do anything. Your angel can make all the noise and commotion that he wants. If you don't want it, you're going to ignore it. So pray to your angel. Your angel is a person. He's not a human person, he's an angelic person. We don't know, by the way, which order of angels your guardian angel comes from. Could be any of the 9 choirs of angels. They teach us that whatever choir they're from, they leave all of their characteristics and so on behind and take on the characteristics of the lowest choir of angels. But nonetheless, they're still from whichever choir they're from, and sometimes that comes through kind of profoundly. So you can sometimes tell which choir your angel came from just by watching the different things that happen in your life and what it is that spiritually comes naturally or easily to you, because that's probably what comes naturally to your angel. But that's a secondary point. Regardless, your angel is there fighting a battle for your soul and fighting it constantly. Satan wants to take you down in the worst way, and your angel is there to help you and to protect you. Just as we saw with people in the desert, the angel will guide them. Your angel will guide you too, if you ask, if you open yourself and allow that to happen. Again, he's not going to force himself on you. He's there all the time, but he's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. So it's up to us then to open our hearts to be able to allow them to work in our lives. They're protecting you whether you've asked them to or not. But as far as doing practical things, unless you ask, they're not going to force it. And so it's a great thing. This is a total gift from the Lord for us to be able to have an angel and for us to have our own angel assigned to us. And so think about the gratitude we ought to have, but then also think about the disposition that we ought to have as we approach the angel. How should we be doing this? What kind of prayer should be there? What kind of conversation should be there? And if he's with you 24 hours a day, and he is, and by the way, as it said, he's beholding the face of our Heavenly Father. So the wonderful thing about an angel is because they don't have bodies, they are not, they're not restricted as we are to be in a physical spot. So they can be with you and they can be beholding the face of our Heavenly Father at the same time. So it's not like they're having to jump back and forth between the two. They're with you 24 hours a day. They're beholding the face of God at every instant. And so, again, even thinking about that, you have somebody with you. I mean, it's one thing to have our patron saints that we can pray to. It's something if you have a baby that has gone to heaven and you can pray to that child and you have a saint that is there interceding for you. You have an angel that is right with you. Not just one of the saints up in heaven. You've got somebody who is right with you and is also looking at God. And you literally have access to Almighty God. So we ponder that and think about again, what should our response be to this? If there is someone who loves us so much that they would actually choose to come to be with us. Angels are immensely higher than we are by nature. So for them to come down to be with us, it tells you something about how profound the love is in heaven and the humility that, of course, goes along with that love. They don't look at this as a chore. Quite honestly, they see this as the greatest privilege. This is a gift for them from God, and they are a gift to you from God. Now, you can be guaranteed your angel is very grateful. Now the question is, are we? How often we totally forget about our guardian angel, even though he's there all the time. We don't talk to him, we don't pray to him, we don't thank him, we tend not to do anything. We just totally forget that he's even there. But he's right there and he's helping us. And if we are more aware, then we start becoming more and more aware of all the things that he's doing. If we have no clue, we just carry on like there's no one there. He's there. He's always there. So now it's just our chance to say, I need to get myself turned around. Be able to be aware of him, pray to him, talk to him, ask him for help, ask him for guidance, ask him for insight, ask him to love God more, all these sorts of things. That's what he would love to do for you, to help you in whatever way. And they are amazing. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story of the things that my guardian angel has done for me. Without my guardian, I can literally say from several occasions, I wouldn't be here today telling you this if I hadn't seen what they have done explicitly. I would be dead several times over. They are amazing. They are absolutely amazing. But you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to open your heart, your mind, to allow them to work in your life. And the more you allow them in, the more that they're going to be able to do for you. So, starts with that awareness. They are real. They are a gift. And again, remember, you are the only person in history that is their charge. The only one. That's how much that angel loves you. From way before you were ever created, they chose you. So, at the very least, tell them thank you. Or if you're like me, at the very least, apologize to him for what you've done to him. I figure when I get to, well, if I get to heaven, I'm going to look at my poor angel, not that they actually have wings, but his wings are going to be all busted up and dirty and everything else from what I put him through. So the least I can do is at least apologize to him for what I've done and pray to him so that hopefully we can do better, and that one day not only will we be able to behold the face of God, but we'll behold the face of our angel as we behold God with him face to face.